Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation, for you existed before the creation. You exist after the annihilation. You are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists eternally and internally is you alone. This text has a very complex philosophical meaning, which can also be expressed in simple terms. The simple terms is that Krishna is really everywhere, and Krishna is behind everything which moves and does not move. It is Him who is the supreme controller, therefore a devotee, in whatever experience he has, does see Krishna and become enlightened in Krishna consciousness. For a devotee, this simple realization that everything is moving under Krishna's control has a serious conclusion. The conclusion is that the devotee wants to do something for Krishna in this world. He wants to directly connect with this Krishna who is everywhere and behind everything. Everybody who understands this point in Krishna consciousness immediately makes a very nice realization of Krishna's presence. See, you can meet Krishna even in your life, this material world, if you are adopting the proper mentality in your life. There is a Krishna conscious perception. By Krishna consciousness, you develop the required ability to actually perceive the presence of the Lord. So much so that you will bathe the Lord, you will bless the Lord, you will hear the Lord, and in this way be a fully God-conscious soul. Staying for 2 days with the devotees, and every morning the deity was blessed and was given an arati. And I was just thinking how passionate we are in this movement. Here, God is dressed. We are in the same room with Him. And then He is worshipped with an auspicious ceremony. And we are seeing this. It's so wonderful. But if someone is covered and does not have this Krishna conscious perception, he will not even notice anything, although he is in the midst of a kirtan or before the deity. He will not register anything. I remember in the first Hindu temple, I won't tell you the name, but he would sleep in the arati ceremony. But if you think it's an exaggeration, most probably, but it's not. He would dance, but be fully asleep. I don't know how to say this in English. It's a person who walks while sleeping. How do you say this? This is possible also in our lives if we don't become Krishna consciousness. We sleep through the best chants and after millions and billions of births. Walking in their sleep. This is what we do. Otherwise. Now, let us focus a little bit on this implication, the ending of these philosophical texts. There is an interesting verse which Prabhupada often would quote, not often but sometimes, a verse spoken by the great thinker and ethical moralist Chanakya Pandit. He said, Sharirasya gunanam cha duram adyantam antaram shariram sharavitvamsi kalpantastarino guna. There is a gulf of difference between the temporary body and one's good qualities. The body may be destroyed in the blink of an eye, while one's reputation lives forever. In other words, although this body is so temporary, it is here today and gone tomorrow, you can do something in it which creates an eternal effect. I have a quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Chanakya Pandit says that the duration of the life will surely end. No, not when. But kalpantastarino guna, if you are Krishna conscious, then your spiritual qualifications will continue to eternity. In other words, you can create in this temporary existence something which is eternal. Let us look for a moment at the life of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj left the protection of his home and went into the forest to attain Krishna consciousness. He was fully determined. And in this lifetime, he was successful. Krishna appeared before him. It was not easy for Dhruva Maharaj to live this life of Krishna consciousness because he was severely tested. I read in the Chaitanya Mangala from Lochan Das Thakur how he was tested. Indra sent, of course, dancing girls who wanted to allure him and take him away from that place where he performed austerities. Once he was in the midst of meditating and so on, a big snake crawled out of a hole. A real big snake like we have in Mayapur from here to the other wall, and started to stink before Dhruva Maharaj. He was not giving up, he was not running home. Then someone came from the palace and said, Dhruva, you have to come home. Your mother is dying of grief. And he stood for coma. And it is said by Vasudeva that family ties and family affections are very strong sometimes. So, he didn't believe it. Rakshasas came with spears in their hands, attacking Dhruva Maharaj. He would not give up his process. So when you are in this process, when you use your temporary life in the service of Krishna, you will be tested. Everyone is tested. It may not be a snake which all of a sudden crawls under your sleeping bag, you know, and then comes up. Are you serious, Jagannath? It may not be Rakshasas. It may not be news which are disturbing for you. It may be something which is just for you, which is that which taps that point, which is the weakest point in your material in this life. So you should know that this will come, and you should see the instructions which the great acharyas and the great devotees have left for you. In the Bhagavad Bhagavatam, it is said, what is the value of a prolonged life, which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after the supreme interest. A devotee in this life is living to get such to be in such an elevated state in Krishna consciousness. It's more important for him to surrender than to waste years and years of his or her life in an unsurrendered Lalbhava mind career, in an there's certain things you can't express in the English language if you are in the German mother tongue. So I think you all know what I want to say. So it is not for a devotee, it's more important to make these realizations. For instance, now is the Prabhupada Marathon. We could stay in the Heidelberg Temple. We have a heating system which works, I understand. We can eat prasadam, we can think the whole day about marriage subject matters and problems in the minds and between people and so on, and not go out on the Prabhupada Marathon. It's possible if we want. Most probably no one would even say anything. But we could make it a point of, all right, it's hard, but let me go at least once a week or twice a week, and let me surrender, because in that moment of surrender, there is more worth than millions of days based in the mood of non-surrender. It's more worth. You will, by this simple act of surrender, you will gain eternal treasures. You will use your tempuritskatilotskis, your temporary bodies, in gaining something which you will never lose again. How does this sound? It has a point, isn't it? In this moment, because as you surrender to Krishna, as you do something in surrender to Krishna, Krishna will come towards you. That's a natural law. It's a law like gravitation, which works. As much as you surrender to Krishna, he comes towards you. Now, I know that my audience this morning is not only Sankirtan devotees. If your service is a different service, then surrender in that service. It's not that only in Sankirtan we can surrender. There are other services also which require our surrender. And I think this is clear. My point here is only, let us be clever. Let us use this temporary life, almost like Yuga Maharaj, in the 4th canto, 13th chapter text, text 52, it said, the transcendental activities of Yuga Maharaj are well known all over the world, and they are very pure. In fact, that Yuga Maharaj rejected all kinds of toys and playthings, left the protection of his mother, and seriously took shelter of the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. My dear Vidura, so, life is short for everyone, not only for Dhruva Maharaj. By the way, for Dhruva Maharaj it was quite long, he was another age. But if one acts properly, his reputation will remain for a generation, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is everlastingly famous. So the reputation of Lord Krishna's devotee is also everlasting. Therefore, in describing Yuga Maharaj's activities, two specific words have been used: Vikyata, very famous, and Vishuddha, transcendental. Yuga Maharaj leaving home at a tender age and taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the forest is a unique example in this world. Now you might say, well, I'm not interested in building up a reputation. I don't really want that the posterity says Dr. Root PJ or Arishesh PJ or Sachinandan Swami PJ. I don't want this type of reputation. I know it's a stumble block, a hindrance in Krishna consciousness. And this is not what I want. But see, this transcendental reputation, which, as a transcendental is unseen, which we are speaking of, that's not, we don't want to earn this for the people, and so on. We want that Krishna sees this man or this woman has done something substantial for me in my service. We want to, in other words, you know, leave an impression in Krishna's heart, not an impression in the world of men. We all know that the greatest wrestlers are celebrated in the world of men. And even in a society of devotees, you can also earn reputation by being infamous. Ansehen dort oder Ruhm erwerben, indem man einfach gar nicht glorreich sich verhält. Look at Ramachandra Puri, this envious man who even challenged Lord Chaitanya. His name is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he made it, even though he's envious. So, who else is famous? Meat-eating politicians are famous. Everyone knows of Nixon the Dixon, you know, and so on and so forth. Or Adolf Hitler. Everyone knows about this. So my point is not doing something to become famous. My point is doing something in surrender so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his dearest servants become, you know, get an impression in their hearts. Otherwise, what is the value of our life? The life passes by in utter boredom, and nothing changes if we don't look for those opportunities for surrender. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, happy are the Kshatriyas who take the opportunity to fight. Isn't something like this other case, isn't it? Happy, they are happy to take the opportunity. So today we will say, happy are the devotees who take the opportunity to surrender. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity. So we speak today about transcendental reputation as a surrendered soul. See, there are examples of devotees who have left such reputation or left something to the world. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavata, we hear of the acharyas who cross the river or the ocean of material existence in a boat, but mystically leave that boat behind for us to use. You remember this text in the Bhagavata? That the acharyas have crossed the ocean of birth and death, but they have left the boat by which they crossed on our side. Well, what does this mean? Anyone has an idea? I was actually thinking for a long time about it, but somehow I didn't. I had an idea, but I have it now, so if you don't have it, it's not going to happen. That's countless to do it. Very good. Thank you very much. Yes, these acharyas left instructions. These instructions are like a boat. If we take them, we shall also, we shall overcome. Sorry. We shall also overcome the ocean of birth and death. That's a boat. We should take that, those instructions to our heart, read them, follow them. Something will happen in our lives. See, you cannot overcome an ocean by thinking about it. You cannot overcome an ocean by logical analysis. You cannot overcome an ocean by so many things. You have to get in a boat. So in the same way, you can't overcome the material ocean of birth and death by yoga, or by bodha, or by jnana, or by karma. You have to get into the boat of the instructions and overcome it. There's so many people following some processes of maybe this meditation, that meditation, but really to reach the Lord, we must be sure to follow these instructions left by this great soul. I mean, a great soul has instructed the process of meditation and so on, then that's all right, but we have to follow. There is a very interesting episode which I was just reading just a few minutes before coming to the temple. There was once a journalist who wrote The Glories of the Hare Krishna Movement. It was a wonderful article which was presented to Srila Prabhupada. The author, although praising the movement, finished his article by writing, "However, only God knows what will happen in the future." This was indicative, or was an indication, that one cannot really say, one cannot say what will happen if Prabhupada leaves the planet. Now, Srila Prabhupada heard this and he said, "The author has given us a God-given warning. A God-given warning, a warning. In Deutsch, der Autor hat uns eine von Gott gegebene Warnung erteilt." Then the devotee Sattvarup Maharaj, who was there with Srila Prabhupada at that time, said, "Well, do you think that some of your disciples will not stay with you, do not stay connected to the mission?" And Prabhupada answers, "Even if all his present disciples would leave, his books would bring new devotees." And what he said in this very short sentence, he said, "Well, if you get in the boat of the Acharya's instructions, and the books are his instructions, Prabhupada's books are really full of instructions. Many times, don't you feel this? He somehow reaches out of the purport. It's almost like a living hand comes into your life and says, 'Yes, this is something for you to do.' Have you noticed? And in my life, it was so strong when I smoked this division. I was always in the middle field only. Then, sometimes I felt this so miserable and mental, and I had to go in the church and sleep on the church bench and eat prasadam and pray to the Lord. and I would read, you know, and I would read the books, and you know, I would read sentences like, therefore, let us all surrender in full Krishna consciousness, serving the Lord. How did Prabhupada do? You know, he has reached me even in the church. Then again, I went out, and then I people took some books, and then again, I lost my concentration, and nothing happened for a while, and then and again, I did it in the church, and again, I went. You therefore, someone who is initiated by a bona fide acharya, he takes up the mission of his world to master. All right, I'm going. Can I read a little bit? You know? And then again, I'm going out. So, yes, these are instructions. The boat of the instructions. If we get into this boat, we will definitely cross the ocean of birth and death. You see, even someone totally new who gets into the boat, you know, by getting the books, becoming inspired, trying to apply it in the life, even such a person gets help, what to speak of us, if we follow. We have greater chance. Then I want to end here. Thank you very much for your for listening. Do you have any questions regarding these subjects? How is your name? Mitya. That means false and sense. Become bona fide. There's nothing to do with it. I'm just saying. I was just surprised that there was such an idea. Yes.
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 Yes. This doesn't go along. Yeah. Yeah. What is if we only surrender the body but not the mind? That this is actually the first stage. First comes the body, then the words, and then finally the mind. The mind will be the last one to surrender. Usually it goes like this. First you do the body, then you speak about the things, and the mind patiently waits and says, I should get you to wait. So let us be realistic. We have to start like this. We have to use our intelligence and surrender first with the body by performing practical activities of sadhana and of devotion service. Then we should, after we have reached some steadiness, then during this time we should also take care that we don't speak prajalpa. Prajalpa can take and destroy everything in one's life. It's like a prostitute who takes valuable things away. And then we should think of Krishna. Ultimately, each one of us has to come to the state where the mind is surrendered in Krishna consciousness. Because, you know, how can you live with someone who always wants to do something else? It's very difficult. I remember once I had a 17-year-old boy with me on a preaching tour. Very nice, he was very satisfied by his services. A good, good boy who played Midanga for us during the concerts and the programs. But he was young, and he was always, you know, as long as he was with me, he loved me with all this. And I liked him also. He was always doing everything like me. So one night I remember I was going to went to the bathroom, but I looked into the Brahmachari quad. It's just out of interest, Krishna is the loudest, or, you know, there's no particular thing, you know. And I saw it. He was not there. I knew that he was in this room. And then I thought, oh yeah, he always wants something. He has his desires. You know, then, all right. So, in the morning I saw him in the lecture, and he was extremely tired, and then I knew. So, after the lecture, I requested him, my dear so-and-so, please, let us come and sleep. Where were you in the night? And first he was shocked. And he said, I'm very sorry, Maharaj, but you know I'm full of material desires. And I went through the town. I said, yeah, well, can I help you? Is there something? Don't worry, I did not break any principles. And this was how it started, and it became the seeds of interest in material life became bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, it became so that even when we needed him for the programs, he was not there. And I felt, well, I can't do my service really if I always keep my eye like a watch guard on this person. And this is not human life, it's not good for my service, it's also not good for women, it's not good for our relationship. But finally I told him that, see, this is creating a problem. My advice to you is that you make some experiences, but in Krishna consciousness, go to a German school and keep your fingers, make noise, and that he's doing this actually, he's successful this process. He has a Krishna conscious parents and he's taking care of these deeply Krishna conscious inside. So if your mind, this is my point, if your mind always goes like jip, 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 and always is like this young boy who wants to run out from the process of devotional service, it can become difficult. How can you live with such a mind, Nitya? Such a Nitya mind, such a false mind. It's not possible, you know, to all of you. You see, just one thing which you were attached to in your previous ashram, when you went to the Brahmachari ashram, but we were all there in the sense of your ashram. How can you live? You have to make it at one point. You have to say that, come on, this is not, I'm not prepared to tolerate this. It's just that it doesn't work like this. And you have to make the mind friend. Now a devotee who understands this dilemma. I mean, do you all know what I'm talking about? The mind who just really doesn't want, who's just like a restless young boy in the height of puberty, and who just wants to run out and you know, just do you sometimes feel your mind is like this? So, you know, what to do with such a teenager in your brain? This is the question. Now, my suggestion is, if you begin to become disturbed about this, if you notice it, he is, then you have to do something with him. You have to discipline him. It's like a tiger. You have to go and you know, just train him, to dress him. I mean, train him up. This is done by giving the mind good food, good thoughts, deep thoughts about the existential questions of life. Sometimes you can use the stick to your mind. Show him, dear mind, we will die one day. You know, that, I didn't think of this. Thank you for reminding me, you might say. You know. But then you have to, you know, spiritualize the mind. Anybody who understands, oh, my mind is like a teenager in puberty. He or she, Madhijis may also have this experience sometimes, they think of, you know, doing something about it. And the best thing really so for the mind is, you have to use discipline. There's no other way out. The mind hates this word, but it has to be done. Otherwise there is no training possible. You remain on the whimsical platform, Lauenhaftung platform, you will be subdued or subjected to the mind. You have to use discipline. Very important. Discipline is four rules and regulations. My dear mind, there is no, don't even think of anything else. We have made this vow, it's given before the fire, and so on. Then let's not even argue about it, that's already sure. Then, every day, bring it, you know, to the education, to the school, drag it to the school. Teenagers don't want to go to the school, but you have to drag. School thing. Learn from Prabhupada's books. Learn. Not just read them without noticing, but learn something from it. Then, if the mind is overcome by lusty emotions, you should not eat so much then. It often helps. Be a little austere and regulate your eating so that maybe twice a day you eat to your full satisfaction, but not all throughout the day. So these are just simple instructions. All right, try it. You have to become disciplined, otherwise it will not work. It's a little late. I want to really stop here because there's so much service today. Thank you once again. Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandaya ki jai.